This is The Curious Gamer. I'm Devin Pulaski. I'd like to start off with a question. How do you feel about video games? Do you play them? If so, what kinds? On what devices? How often do you play and for how long? If you don't play video games, why not? Do they not interest you, or have you found them to be too time-consuming, or even too geeky? Or do you simply think that they're just a waste of time? Well, regardless of what you think, here are some truths. Games are continuously getting more popular around the world, and each year there are millions of new gamers who are playing games millions more hours than the year before. Game design is slowly evolving to incorporate different ways to play, to share experiences, to tell stories, incorporate new technology, and to allow more people to experience them in more ways. So, if you're a non-gamer, you can continue to be one, but in doing so, you're missing out on an exciting new experience that eventually, the entire world will adopt in fascinating ways. Instead, why not learn more about them? Why not discover their immensely positive qualities and find ways to help incorporate them into your life? In doing so, they might help you be more creative, help you solve real-world problems, and bring you a lot of joy. If you already love video games, this show is for you. And if you don't already love them, this show is also for you. With this show, it's my goal, nay, my duty, to highlight and celebrate the most interesting things going on in the world of video games. It's also my job to help bring the rest of the world in, to show the masses that games aren't as geeky to be a part of or as difficult to pick up. And yes, even convince you that there's so much more to it than simply to kill some time.
We have this idea that playing games is kind of a waste of time. And I kept hearing that even as I was evangelizing all of the benefits of gaming, the emotional benefits, the social, the psychological benefits. People kept saying, yeah, but it's just a waste of time. Shouldn't we be doing something more productive than, you know, avenging some angry birds?
This is Jane McGonigal, a researcher, game designer, and longtime evangelist of video games and their positive impact on our culture.
And it really made me wonder, well, what do we mean by productive? I mean, productivity is about producing something. What do we really want to produce more of in our lives and in the lives of the people around us? You know, are we trying to produce more emails, or, you know, are we trying to produce more positive emotion? Are we trying to produce stronger relationships? Are we trying to produce a sense of meaning and purpose? And it turns out that games are actually quite good at producing those things. That's what they produce more of and better than almost anything else.
Jane is well known for her academic research and study on games, and also for developing unique games aimed at solving real-world problems, such as her game Super Better. Jane originally designed Super Better after she suffered injuries from a severe concussion, and she used it as a means to motivate and empower herself to overcome her debilitations. Super Better has since evolved to become a game anyone can use for real-world self-improvement.
It seems like a crazy thing to do, to make a game to get better in real life. But I used everything that I'd learned in 10 years' experience as a game designer, everything I knew about provoking positive emotion, about strengthening social connections, about building up players' abilities to tackle tougher and tougher challenges without giving up. I used all of that to turn my recovery into a game.
Jane later went on to author the New York Times bestseller, Reality is Broken: Why Games Make Us Better and How They Can Change the World. It's a book that illustrates the emerging academic research on games in our culture and demonstrates how our society can harness the unique power of games to improve our world.
So when people say games are a waste of time and not productive, I would challenge them to ask themselves, what do you want to produce more of? And if it's things like better relationships and more positive emotion in my daily life, then games might be the most productive thing you can do.
So maybe you're not convinced yet. Gamer or not, you might think, why should I really care about all this? Well, games are now part of our mainstream culture. Yet, as a society, we tend not to know much about them. Non-gamers tend to make assumptions and judgments, but they're usually based on preconceived notions, false perceptions, and a lack of information and experience. And gamers themselves tend to remain in self-contained bubbles, sticking to games they're used to and often exploring only a fraction of what the medium has to offer. The cultural artifacts that our society produces is something that we need to care about, whether it's video games or anything else. We need to carefully think about the art and entertainment we immerse ourselves in, because if we don't, we become passive. We get comfortable getting served mediocre things, and we miss out on great opportunities. After all, our society spends so many hours each week consuming music, TV, movies, books, and, of course, video games. And since we spend so much time with these things, we owe it to ourselves to enjoy a higher quality of art and entertainment. So, before I talk more about games, I'd like to talk about something that pretty much everyone can relate to. Movies. And trust me on this, this all connects. I went to college for film and video production in Michigan, and some of the first classes I took focused on film theory. These classes were extremely important to me because, well, it was the first time I actually truly thought about movies. So, what I mean by this is that, like many people, I grew up watching movies. And since middle school, I had even been making them. But despite all this, these film classes made me stop and think about just how exactly movies were made. Things like why certain movies use specific color schemes, how lighting affects the mood of a scene, how camera shots on a tripod create a different meaning than handheld camera shots, or even how editing a 30-second scene down to 15 seconds can not only make it half the length, but twice as effective. For the most part, this is pretty basic stuff. It's simple observations and patterns that, once pointed out to you, you never forget. It may be simple, but not many people take the time to do it. But once you do, it can be a real exciting thing. And so, if you'll excuse me, let me put on my film analysis hat. Isn't it interesting how, in The Matrix, the filmmakers tinted the computer world green to help distinguish it from the real world for the audience?
Dodge this.
Isn't it fascinating how, in Citizen Kane, he and his wife sit at increasingly longer tables each time they have dinner together, symbolizing the growing distance in their relationship?
People will think
what I tell them to think.
Isn't it amazing how dialogue doesn't necessarily make characters more human? Like, say, in WALL-E, for example, where the main character is a non-human robot who can't even talk.
WALL-E.
And he has infinitely more charm, personality, and humanity than, say, Anakin Skywalker in the Star Wars prequels, who's a human main character with tons of dialogue over three movies?
They're like animals, and I slaughtered them like animals.
Here's the thing, the constant analysis can get annoying. Film students eventually figure that out when people don't want to watch movies with them anymore. They say we ruin movies for them. But at the end of the day, people don't usually want to think too much about what they enjoy. They just want to kick back and enjoy the damn movie already. But even if you simply want to relax and enjoy your media, art, and entertainment, it's absolutely vital to think about them. We need to take a step back and recognize which things about our media are good and which things can get better. Otherwise, we get trapped in mundane patterns. We get comfortable being served garbage. We get used to the same things, and we never branch out or try something new. And in the case of movies, we get stuck with movie after movie about aliens, superheroes, zombies, the apocalypse, or some half-strung combination of these. We get served endless sequels, prequels, and reboots. And we get main characters who are only white, heterosexual, able-bodied men, instead of more women and diversity in our main characters. And like I said before, it's not all that difficult. It doesn't require you to take classes or analyze readings from famous film scholars. It just takes some careful paying attention, connecting the dots, and more than anything, not turning your brain off. And now, I'd like to get back to games. I took a diversion with movies because, well, let's face it, just about everyone watches movies. It doesn't matter who you are, or where you came from, or what you do, you probably watch movies, whether it's a few times a year to a few times a week. Despite their flaws, both currently and historically, movies are a fantastic medium because there's so many kinds of them. There are hundreds and thousands of movies that all focus on different kinds of people in different kinds of situations, exploring just about everything about life and the human condition. The medium of movies has evolved tremendously over the past century, and I know they'll continue to do so. Now, by comparison to movies, video games as a medium are extremely young. They haven't had the century of evolution that movies has. Because games are so new and exciting and so full of potential, I am extremely fascinated by them. I grew up with games. From the age of 5 and all through my adult life, I've seen them completely transform. In a sense, I feel a sense of ownership over them, a responsibility for them. And I'm not alone in thinking this way. In a recent documentary, Indie Game the Movie, several influential game designers talk about their experience growing up with games.
I mean, it's the sum total of every expressive medium of all times made interactive. Like, how is that not? It's awesome. I want to be part of it. I want to have a say in what becomes of video games.
If you don't see a
the generation that indie game developers are coming from, and I'm part of this generation also, we're the first generation that grew up with video games.
Since I was part of that generation that grew up with it, I feel an ownership of it. You know, games are mine.
For anyone who grew up basically after 1975, 1980 or so, we were the first generation to grow up with our parents giving us games, and for us to grow up games as a natural and relevant part of our everyday existence.
So this is not like a weird kid activity for me. This is not like some strange, nerdy pastime. This has been a part of my life.
Part of this responsibility, I feel, is to talk to people about video games. Just like with movies, I feel like talking and thinking more about them will only make them better and more meaningful to us. So maybe by now you're willing to give video games some more thought and consideration. The world of games is huge and complex, and it can seem daunting to jump in, even for seasoned gamers. Where do you start? Unfortunately, for many different reasons, great games don't show up on too many people's radars. That might be because games can be sometimes hard to get into. They often require prior experience, and they can be very technical, time-consuming, and sometimes just feel a little too geeky for some people's tastes. My dad always had two deal-breaking complaints when I'd force him to try a game with me. He'd say, "There's just too many damn buttons!" And also, "You've played this way more than me. How am I supposed to keep up?" Here's another problem. Much like Hollywood movies, the games out there, especially the popular blockbuster titles, are very unbalanced. There's way too much of this. And not nearly enough of this. But despite its problems, there's so many amazing games out there that anyone can get into and appreciate. Games that demonstrate the unique power of the medium and provide experiences that you couldn't have with anything else. Games that people seem genuinely fascinated by when I talk about them. Here, I'll give you some examples. Did you know that there's this beautiful game that's a metaphor for human life, where you explore vast deserts and glide along the sand like waves of water? Did you know that there's this game that has a gigantic world that would take you hours in real life to get across? A game where you choose who you are, your gender, the color of your skin, and even your species? A game where you can adventure to any river, city, cave, or mountain that you see? Did you know that on some nights in some bars around the world, they don't show sports on the TVs, but instead, live matches of a popular strategy game where players are competing sometimes for thousands of dollars in prize money?
Eerily silent, despite having 10,000 people watching live right now. If you're a fan of the three-time GSL champion, the greatest Zerg in the world, then give a cheer for IAM's NEST Team!
And did you know that there's an extremely popular game that takes characters from almost every Disney movie and cartoon and puts them alongside popular anime-inspired Final Fantasy characters where they battle monsters together and, by some miracle, all totally works and is actually cool?
When you can't come along looking like that.
That's one funny face.
Okay, why not? I'll go with you guys.
Name's Goofy.
I'm Sora.
What's this?
Jasmine.
Oh, that's right. She's in trouble, Aladdin.
What? Well, come on, let's get going.
In a nutshell, my goal with this show is to show the world these games. I want to celebrate what makes these games so great, how their worlds, their characters, and stories are so fascinating, and how their design immerses its audiences. I also want to bring these games to the masses and show that they're not as scary or geeky or impossible to get into as they might seem. Now, there are so many news sites and YouTube channels and gaming personalities out there that discuss upcoming games, review games, play games live, geek out about games, etc. And while I enjoy many of these channels, they're oftentimes not really meant for the general public. They're usually not even meant for expanding the horizons of gamers. And with this show, I want to address both those issues. I want to get to the core of games, what makes them special, why they're worth our time. Because I have no doubt that in my life, games have inspired me, helped me be more creative, helped me make friends and stay in touch with them. They've made me think about media and art and technology, and most importantly, they've brought me a lot of joy. So, no matter what you enjoy, whether it's movies, TV, books, music, or video games, if they captivate you and make you happy, they're not a waste of time. They're worth thinking about. You owe it to yourself to learn about and celebrate why you love them. And if I've done my job with this radio show, you'll walk away thinking these same things about games. This episode of The Curious Gamer was produced by me, Devin Pulaski, as a public radio show. In the first season of shows, I hope to explore games from a more personal level. I'll showcase my own observations about games and reach out to the community closest to me for stories about them. In future seasons, I hope to obtain greater support and funding for this show in order to produce more ambitious content like interviews with influential figures in the game industry, or interviews with acclaimed media analysts, or just interesting stories from ordinary people from other locations. And remember, this is a free show, and there are several ways you can follow it. You can subscribe to it as a podcast from iTunes, but I also recommend you listen from our official website, which is at thecuriousgamer.org, where I'll be posting audio files of the show, as well as streaming the show from SoundCloud from my username Devin Pulaski. That's DevinPulaski. Also on our site, I'll be posting the notes and credits from the sound clips I used in the show, links to extra graphics, content, and even entire transcripts from the show. I also compose all the music for these shows, and you can find links to download those if you're so inclined. Also, please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. The handle for this show is @CuriousGamerShow, and tweet me your own thoughts and personal stories about gaming. I'd love to hear about them. Now, support for this show was provided by Pictomoto Media, a video production company that creates motion graphic explainer videos and also live action videos for startups and other great companies and organizations. Pictomoto's high quality videos have helped its clients show off complex ideas in a real simple, engaging, and easily remembered way. It's one thing to have a website and a lot of paragraphs explaining what you do, but I don't know, having a modern video to display on your website not only makes you look a lot more professional, but it also makes people more likely to do business with you or learn more about you. If you'd like to check out Pictomoto or inquire about their services, just visit pictomotomedia.com. And finally, don't let this show exist in a vacuum. Share this with your fellow gamers, your non-gaming friends, your parents, the radio lovers in your life, your coworkers, your dog. Let's all start talking and thinking more about games. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned. I can't wait to show you what's ahead.